Castanelli, who released Treloar. You love him here, bouncing through the 50 and kicking the goal.
Across Australia and online at aflnation.com.au. Welcome to AFL Nation.
For McDonald's, getting to Macca's today for hot, juicy, tasty burgers made with 100% Aussie beef.
And Liquorland, always great value.
It's a 4 years finals run for the Giants, and it's an 8-season final absence for the Saints, and it largely gets sorted tonight. Not entirely. It's not quite so simple. The Giants can win and still miss, and the Saints can lose and still make it. So there is a perverse edge to it. But the 4 points tonight is worth plenty, maybe more than any others, particularly for St Kilda, who have had three good looks at sewing it all up. They have brought the uninvited tension to round 18. On AFL Nation tonight, from the Gabba, it is St Kilda and the Giants for McDonald's. But the Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. And so much happening in football, as is inevitable at this time of year. North Melbourne wasted no time on their changes. Gosh, it felt callous, and it probably tells you why the Spirit has been missing for a number of weeks, because it has been looming large. While John Worsfold has made his parting shot at Essendon before coaching for the last time, it's all up for discussion. Jared Waitley with you, Anthony Hudson's with me. Hello, Hutto.
Hello, Jared. Evening, everyone. I can't believe we've got here, Jared. We've got to round the final round of the season, the home and away season, and the finals aren't far away. And we are set for, I don't know what conditions the game are going to be in. According to Chris Scott, it's going to be beautiful up there at the Gabba for the grand final. But it is so poised, isn't it, as we head into the finals. And the Saints would have been watching last night and thinking, how did we not beat the Eagles last week when we had that opportunity? But they get their chance tonight against the Giants, who have been such a storyline for the year, haven't they, with the captain back in tonight. So how would you know what's going to happen tonight? You couldn't possibly know, but it's going to be a fascinating weekend.
Gary Lyon, good evening.
Good evening, gentlemen, and our vast listening audience. What a wonderful night it is. It is a great night tonight. I love when it's all on the line.
Yep.
And Hutto says, you know, the Saints would have to sit back and think about last week. There's about, I don't know, six teams are sitting back looking at their draw going, how could we have? And why didn't we? How could that have happened? And yet the bottom line is it comes down to this.
And that was always going to happen this year too, wasn't it, when you think there was always going to be matches that you were going to drop and just think, how did we do that?
17-game season. That's what happens when there's such a value on every single game. I know Jared, you and I sing from the same hymn book when it comes to this. And it's a fantastic culmination to what has been the most difficult of seasons. And tonight is a beauty. Is St Kilda, for all the reasons, we love what Brett Ratton's done and reinvented himself, and they've gone to the trade table and said, yep, we'll have him. And then you've got this other side sitting out there unimaginably, who should be, you know, if the graph was linear, would be going, it's premiership this year. That's the where they've been tracking.
They were my pick this year.
You wouldn't be alone. And they may miss. They may miss the finals on a 17-gamer. It is, so, I don't know. We'll find out tonight. Got a captain that's coming back. I don't know what that proved last week. Still haven't worked that out myself. So he's coming back in. Himmelberg gets dropped. There'll be teams licking their lips over that. So bring it on.
Let's just spend a little bit of time on St Kilda. So they left the Brisbane game feeling like they should have won. They left the Melbourne game profoundly disappointed that they didn't win. And they had West Coast beaten. They had them beaten and then coughed the game up. And they still have to put the final touch on it. They haven't been to the final since 2011. I'm almost less about the team than more about the fans tonight. Oh, they have been through the ringer over the past month just waiting for this last piece.
Actually, you could put them and Melbourne fans in the same room just to see how it all plays out.
And in some ways, they've been a parallel, haven't they, during that time, the rebuild, and we're going back to the Alan Richardson time versus Ruse and the Goulburn, and they were both sort of nearly making the finals. And that parallel has probably dropped off a fraction over the last couple of years, but here we are again.
It was always thought that Melbourne were ahead of St Kilda, and yet every time they came to measure, St Kilda was ahead of Melbourne, including now.
Yeah. And, you know, the 64-66, the two longest waiting for a premiership, so it's got some parallels everywhere. But I don't know, I think I just did some work on it today. I've been in holiday mode, so I haven't given footy a hell of a lot of thought. But I went and sat down today and looked at it all, and yeah, they need a team performance. This is what I've arrived at here. They haven't got superstars in the St Kilda side, and that's with respect to Jack Steele, who's had a fantastic year. But when I'm looking for the three that are going to drive it, it's sort of Butler and Steele and Hill. Maybe that's, you know, they're two big guys. You know, clearly have an influence. But then on look at unless. Yeah, you know, unless today was the day that Max King kicks six, tonight was the day, then...
We've been waiting all year for that game, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And the ball's getting slipperier and slipperier, yes. So I don't think it's going to happen. But, I really can't wait. I think it's going to be fantastic.
Nathan in Craigieburn's going to set us up from a Saints perspective. Nathan, welcome to AFL Nation.
Yeah, good evening, guys. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm very nervous, excited. We'll lose or win, draw, doesn't matter. We're still going to back the team. We come a long way, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. At least we had a consistent year, I reckon, compared to the rest of the years that we had.
It'd be a shame, though. I mean, obviously, it'd be a shame if you're a St Kilda supporter, but you've been in there pretty much all season, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been there for the whole season, so we do deserve to make it, but if we don't make it, it's not end of the world.
Well, that's not what we want to hear, Nath.
Well, it is according to Gary Ablett.
Just give yourself that cushion.
Yeah, no.
But when scores are tight halfway through the last quarter, it'll feel like everything. Nathan, thank you. Enjoy the night if it's possible. Things feel off about the Giants, more off than they've felt in many a year, I think. These stories will get told in hindsight and probably once people have finished and people have left. And I'm sure it's magnified by all living unnaturally together. And that's clearly been an instance in North Melbourne. But it's the confounding decision to drop the captain, the sudden death with Aiden Corr. I think players are reevaluating whether they're staying or going as they reevaluate the team. It feels off, to be honest.
It does. And I think the truest thing you said is we're going to have to wait a year or two or three for some of those blokes to retire so we can put the lasso of truth around them and just say what exactly was it like.
I wonder if they actually know.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Can I ask a question? What is Jeremy Cameron worth? Not in money. How good a player is Jeremy Cameron?
He's a very good player.
Just very good.
Because
he's getting paid.
Yeah, he's getting paid great money.
Yeah.
He's a very good player.
Right in the top level.
Yeah, so there's your out and outs, then there's the greats, then the very goods, the goods. So he's not at the great level, Jeremy Cameron. He's an eight-time leading goal kicker. He's a Coleman medalist. He's not a great. But... So I just watch. We're miles away. I'm just watching. He just doesn't look like he's enjoying the footy. Yeah. Doesn't look like it's life and death for him. Not that footy, you know, in the footy context I'm talking about, where I don't care what you do through the week, you train, prepare. When that 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock starts from 2 to 5, it is life and death. That is what you do. That's why you're paid. That's your reason for being in the sporting sense. Now, if you don't want to do it, that's your choice too. Don't do it. But so... if I could sit him down, I'd say, just you and me, no one else, and no one has to know. And I reckon he'd say, you know what, this year just, it hasn't. I haven't really felt, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
I just haven't felt like busting my guts. I haven't felt like backing into a pack and risking getting a knee into my shoulder and cracking my shoulder in half. I haven't felt like putting my head over the footy, you know, risking a knee to the back of the head because that's the most important thing at the time. For me, it's been a bit... pick and choose, you know, okay, if I get on a roll, you know, I'll lose myself in a quarter or a half or maybe even a game. You might have had a game somewhere along the line. But to me, it just looks like it's been too hard for whatever reason. And maybe it is. And I say this a lot about this year. And in respect to North Melbourne as well, because I've been very hard on them and others, maybe this year is so much more difficult than us three know.
Yeah.
That could be a really harsh reality of what's going on. And maybe you need Joel Selwood at the helm, or Trent Cotchin at the helm, or you need Brisbane to be in their own beds, or you need Port to be in their own beds to get the best out of your team, because it's taken a toll on even West Coast. You know, as experienced and talent-laden as they are, they struggled early and went back home, gathered themselves, come back. So maybe if you're not in that zone, which speaks to St Kilda a bit, I mean, they haven't got – I mean, Jarryn Geary's good leader, not a great player, but you know, they're sort of – would be navigating through it all, and you know, these other sides that aren't in that top four, and maybe that's the GWS right there.
Well, their first game couldn't have been much more impressive.
They were the team who looked most suited by the explosive nature of the season. I got to the end of round one, I thought, yep. Oh, right, they're going to win it.
They did kick incredibly accurately, yep. So maybe it was a slight misrepresentation, but we'll never know. But if nothing had interrupted, I wonder how their season would have panned out.
Yeah, as I said, I have spoken personally to a couple of players, and these are ones with families, yep. Like young families, and they just say to me, you've got no idea.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what it's like. And to be going and playing or training, not even training properly, just going and having a kick and trying to prepare. And then when you're done, you're going back to your room, not your house, to your room with your kids and your partner, which I don't care who you are. If that's not the way you've been brought up, then that's a struggle.
Although the Giants, they didn't go straight into the hub either, did they? So that their form had already started to look curious before they left Sydney. They lost
had
to North
a
Melbourne.
Stint there.
Yeah, remember on the when they came back, they lost to North Melbourne, and there was already signs there that it was a bit wobbly.
What was the point of dropping Canelio to bring him back? No. What was the point of dropping him in the penultimate round to bring him back in the final round?
No, I don't know the answer. I asked the same. So they said to me last night, or the winner it was Monday, do you bring him back? I said, well, how can you? If you're making your statement, what sort of statement is it when you go, look, we made it, and now 4 days later we're unmaking it? So I don't know what it is. Yeah, it's about, you know, they've gone, oh, form or whatever it was that dropped him on. Well, nothing changes in 4 days. So in the end, you make your statement and you say, Stephen's playing, but he's under no illusion that, you know, if this was a full season, whatever it is. Now, he will come out. I hope they set him for a job. I hope they give him a job today. And maybe it's Steele or maybe it's Hill or something, and say, right, there's your focus. If you to be the leader, we know your form's not great. Go and do your job there, and he'll do it. I'm at the start of the year, I said he's the best player in the comp, Stephen Canelio. I said by the end of the year he will be. Now clearly that's not the case, but I've underestimated how hard it is for him to come back. But that's how highly I rate him as a player and a leader. So he will get back to it. It was just a curious decision with, you know, a make or break game, 2 weeks out from the end of the season. Do you reckon the rest of the team have looked at it and gone, whew, now we're going to change because they've dropped the captain?
Yeah, I mean, if it had been done eight or 10 weeks ago,
correct,
it may have been a
different
story.
Correct. When he was battling, when Jeremy Cameron's struggling, yep. Make your big call then. And then you go, ooh, all right.
If you're trying to re-sign your key forward and there's 2 weeks to go in the season and you're dropping them, that's a pretty big statement too, isn't it?
And even on Wednesday, so he's strongly considered. Yeah. I haven't understood any part of it. No hindsight. At every step I go, I don't understand why you would be saying that and why you would be acting in such a way. And now he has to carry that. Like, it becomes part of his journey. He'll get asked about it for 12 months straight.
Yeah, so Leon then lectures us. Yeah, Leon then comes out and says, oh, the Melbourne media have got it so wrong. You know, how you think that there's a fracturing in our relationship? Well, you just couldn't be further apart. Well, I don't know if anyone said that, but it's, of course it begs the question about the relationship between coach and captain. You invite that by the decision, right? So you'd be naive in the extreme if you don't think that then lends itself to, gee, how's it going to play out over summer? Okay, they might be as tight. I've been there. They might be the tightest relationship. I couldn't imagine the coach turning around saying, I trust in you to lead this team. I trust in you implicitly. I've given you the title. I share everything I want to do with you. And you are then my eyes and ears out on the field, on the training track. You're the conduit between my group. You are me, and I'm dropping him. Leon, don't tell me that then doesn't have an impact. I've lived it. That is one of the few areas where I can say from experience, I've lived it. Because then you turn around and go, really? So you and I are on the journey together, and we've shared all this, and then you're saying this to me. Okay, which might, fair enough, but don't then tell me, 4 days later you're back in and everything's sweet. Doesn't happen. Like that. They've got ground to make up.
The North Melbourne side of things, So the question from the outside is why did it all drop away so badly? So in the first round and then the first return, they had the intangible. They had the connection with coach. When he went down onto the boundary, it manifestly changed the game. The players responded to, and then they ran into their nemesis, Sydney, and they were never seen again. Why was there so little unity, purpose, sense of mission? And the reason was because a critical mass of players felt that they were dispensable, that they would be moved at the first possible opportunity. And the first possible opportunity was today, and 11 of them got shuttled.
So do you think that uncertainty was what drove?
100%.
And how was that communicated, or how did they come to that conclusion? If everything was going okay by round one or two or three or whatever the case may be.
So when they changed their mind that they were going to rebuild, whenever exactly that happened, so this was a team that rejected rebuild, they went in, no, we're in it for the now, and at some point across the journey of this season that changed, and a critical mass of players living in a very unnatural circumstance all went, oh, right, so I'm not going to be here. Mm. My future is shot to bits at this football club. You can't ask for collective buy-in at that stage, and that's been going on for about the past 7 weeks.
And everything you look at reflects that. Effort, style of footy, they're the easiest team in the competition to play against. They get opened up, split down the middle, their skill level's poor, they've gone away from what, you know. I mean, their results last year when Reece took over were Richmond, St Kilda, they beat Port Adelaide by 86 points.
You just had to watch them, Gaz. You guys played the division on Monday night, I think.
And that was the question.
Yeah.
Where is this?
Yeah.
I don't expect you to be winning 12 games. Where is this?
But can that be that? Not many teams can do that every week, can they? So we all understood that to a degree. That's one of my concerns with North. And I do think they've got some young talent in their midfield particularly. I don't think they see Ben Brown as being part of their future because he's not the sort of player for the game style.
Let's just address that, though. You got a three-time 60-plus goal kicker playing out of the goal square, and all of a sudden in the space of a year, he's dispensable.
I think the way that they want to play is they want to get it in long and have the targets and lock it in their 50. And I don't think you can – I mean, you've got to have the way you want to play, but that – like, if I was a North fan, I'm like, really, is that – how?
But don't you compliment, though? Don't you compliment your 60? Has he dropped that far away that quickly? So you go 60-60.
They've decided that he doesn't suit the way they want to play, then...
But what way do you want to play that you just dispense with your 65?
I agree, Gaz. I think
so what I'm saying is, we want to play it long and go, and he doesn't compete high there. Well, if you only play that way, you become very easy to play against. What about you go long?
We saw
long?
That last night, though. They actually played differently for a while last night.
And
it was different.
Yep.
I know it was the last game and it was a dead rubber, but you want to see a bit of that, I think, if you're a North fan.
So who is the better option? Yeah, okay, Nick Larkey. Right? So I like Larkey. I like Larkey. Is he going to be a longer option? If they turn around and say, we want Larkey, and then we want a longer... and he's going to be our hit up. Well, maybe. Okay, I'll look at it then.
But yeah. Well, clearly they do. That's if Brown does. And it'd be interesting to see how other teams assess Brown.
Has Reece got enough support around him?
No. No. Absolutely not. The strategic decisions they made were quickly shown to be counterintuitive. Is making redundant the backline coach and the forward line coach for a man in his first year as a senior coach. They prioritised fitness. They were going to be the fittest team. It didn't get them very far. But their issues are bigger. Their issues are they first have to build a list before they worry about how they're going to play. And it looks like they're going to try to cheat their rebuild by bringing in core and by still offering these six-year contracts. My God, North Melbourne and the six-year contract.
To Aiden
Core? Honestly, no, not to him, but to Zach Williams. And they have to do what they said they weren't going to do and build their list across two drafts before they worry about it. So Reece Shaw suddenly, and this is where I've got all the sympathy in the world for him, he's the rebuild coach, and it's not the job he was offered and it's not the job that he thought he was taking because strategically they decided it. And equally, Todd Goldstein didn't think he was signing on for a rebuild team and Sean Higgins didn't think he was signing on for a rebuild team. If you flip and flop, this is where you get left. And if they don't identify what they're doing hardcore next, they'll flip and flop for eternity.
And did they interview anyone else for that job, by the way?
No, it would appear not. They made their offers to other coaches, but they so
14 of the 22 that beat Richmond played last week against Fremantle. So they beat Richmond by 36 points. 14 of that 22 played. The only player gone from that 22 is Scott Thompson. The rest are still on that list, and 14 played against Fremantle last week.
Mm. It's hard to fathom, isn't it?
So they've shuttled off Jamie McMillan, Madjack Dawe, Jasper Pittard, Ben Jacobs, Paul Ahern, Mason Wood, Sam Durden, Marley Williams, Joel Crocker, Lockie Hosey and Tom Murphy. And that's just the first pass through. Then there are those players that they will try to offload who have contracts.
How many is that? 11, did you
that's
say?
That's 11.
Yep.
Well, and they're still going.
Then there are players that they will try to move and probably pay the majority of their money while they go and play
how
elsewhere.
How many in total are they going to move?
And then there's what the trade is. Who knows?
So 15 potentially off the list.
I think it would be more than 15 by the time.
So you've got to replace these players.
Yeah, I know.
So the list will come down by what? Four?
Oh, max?
Yeah.
There are mixed reports on that
I think
now.
The rookie numbers will come down. But
so they're going to go. They're going to trade in or go to the draft for 16 players.
Yeah.
Crumbs
is right. Crumbs is right. So what of the Madjack Dawe journey, which for the moment is paused and it may very well be over?
From a pure football point of view, I think I understand it. If you can't secure a spot in this team at the moment, then it would suggest that you're some way off it. Now, whether
they didn't give him a chance to play where he played his best footy though this year, did they? He didn't play down back.
Centre half back, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is he going to? Will someone pick? We'll find out. Would he be able to play centre half back in a team, you know, much better organised and much better supported than we're at now? And yeah, I don't know. I'm glad that he was given the opportunity to come back and play that game, and it was a great story.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to be a great, an AFL player long term. So, and that's harsh. And these are the conversations. I don't even know why we say this, but we love all those stories. I love Cade Simpson. I hate being asked about Cade Simpson. And I go, no, he shouldn't play on. But that then sounds like you're being derogatory. And I say, no, can you just give him a mere body of work for the last 20 years? I've loved every single part of Cade Simpson. But this is what happens in footy. And I've loved the Madjack story, but I get it. I don't think he's in the AFL system. That's just me.
Yeah, I do think, though, that we probably thought that about 3 or 4 years ago, and he actually played some good footy in defence and looked like they'd found his spot. So I'm just not sure why he didn't play there when he came back this year. But anyway.
Is there currency in any of those? Will any of those other players end up? So McMillan's sort of had his career. Pittard's.
Someone may look at him, maybe, just in a stronger setup. Some of the anomalies of this are these players. The players that I sort of call wait and see. Let's wait and see players. And that is when the game starts, they wait to see which way it's going to go. And then they'll join in. Right? And that can be particularly harsh as well. But that's what separates.
Yeah.
That's what separates everyone. So he's a wait and see player. So he doesn't determine where a game's going. But if it's going along okay, then he'll join in and be worthy. So that's why the wait and see players struggle at poor clubs, but then can find a niche at a good club. Because the wait and see is over in about 3 minutes, and they're on board, and away they go.
The Ben Jacobs story is just really sad, isn't
so
it, the
sad.
Way that's finished? Because he really was such an important player in that team when they were getting to the preliminary finals, and just such a shame the way his career's finished.
Ahern's had his second go at it. You don't really imagine like he'd be a depth player. Wood has always been a mystery, but
yeah.
Good luck if you think you can unravel that. Durden, Williams, probably Dan Croc. Like that's you don't in all of this. You don't individually go through them and go, well, they've made wrong or harsh calls. It's just this was the whole issue: is their list lacked the talent to have success in a sustained way. And this is a large reason of it. And that's not the end of it.
Davies, Uniac, Simpkin, Anderson,
Dumont.
So they've got and we don't know what's going to happen with a few of the other players, but they've got some talent in the midfield. That's the best you can say.
But they have, like, they're talented, but gee, they've got to take themselves up to a much higher level. If they're now having to drive this whole boat.
Experience the contactless convenience online shopping can deliver at Hyundai. Through selected dealers, you can buy your dream car online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. And right now, get an extra cashback rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/click to buy to find out more. John Worsfold's departing press conference from Essendon coming up next, and the Sean Smith compensation payout, the implications of that. For Beaumont Tiles, 116 stores open online, in-store, click and collect or deliver.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value.
Tonight it is St Kilda and the Giants. The Saints looking to put the final touches on their participation in the finals, and the Giants need a lot to happen, beginning with victory and then things to fall their way for the rest of the weekend. AFL Nation is for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Gary Lyon with you. John Worsfold held his final press conference as Essendon coach today. This is coming to an end in acrimonious circumstances, with the hope of being able to say thank you that Essendon, I'm sure, when they put together the succession plan, they wanted this week to be a salute to John Worsfold. It hasn't been that. There's an aspect of the defensive in all of this.
So I would just like to implore Essendon people to keep backing the club, to back Ben Rutten, to back this playing group, to take them forward. It will be tough and there's a lot of hard work to do, but I know they're up for it. I believe strongly in Ben Rutten. That is why I agreed to a succession plan. I believe Ben has learnt and grown this year and is now a better place to take the club forward. As you all get to know him, you'll respect him as much as myself and the players do. The Essendon playing group have been through two massive transitions in my short time at the football club. I also believe really strongly in these young men I know so well. I respect that there will be those who don't share my confidence. The future will reveal the reality, and I'm looking forward to watching that. I wish Essendon all the very best going forward. Thanks for the privilege of being part of a unique challenge, and best wishes for the future.
It is a pity, I think, how this is ending, but it is inevitable that ultimately these plans get judged on whether the team is successful or not. How are you reading the end of the Worsfold years at Essendon?
Yeah, it's a little messy. It is a little messy. I read the full transcript. He spoke about him being an introvert.
Yeah, that was fascinating.
Which I thought, yeah. And I can empathise with that a bit, because I think a lot of outside, and this is, I'm not separating us from others, but we get to talk to John every now and then. But a lot of the opinions are formed based on what they see from him sitting on a bench, unmoving. And then they, I think, misinterpret that somewhat to say he's got no passion. Of course he's got passion. He's a premiership coach. He's a premiership captain. He just displays it differently. And I thought that was an interesting admission on his behalf. Yeah, but in the end...
Part of the challenge of coaching, though, is to be able to communicate that across, isn't it?
To
everybody, to your players primarily, but... To your members as well, to your fans.
Yeah, that is true. I don't reckon West Coast fans would have worried that much when he was leading into a flag.
But they were winning flags. Yeah. Essendon were. I don't think it. Maybe John just said, I'm an introvert. I'm not going to worry about it. Mm. But I don't know whether he has tried to improve that. That's only a small thing, but it's part of it.
I get where you're going. The coach is all things to the club, and he's not just to the playing group. And in lots of ways, this whole notion of a club coach, a senior coach, will continue to be addressed, I think. I mean, the succession plan is one pretty radical movement along the way, but...
This hasn't helped, has it? Then again, if Essendon finish top four next year, maybe people will think it's a great idea.
But the notion of the front man, the cell of the club, the relationship builder with the players, and then the minutiae and all that sort of stuff to your, you know, the real nuts and bolts, stats, yeah, and tacticians and all that sort of stuff, I think will continue to be pushed forward. But it's unfortunate. And look, when he starts to separate and when he engages with a former champion like Matthew Lloyd, that's when it gets messy. No one wants to see that in footy. And Matthew's absolutely within his rights to have commented in the manner that he did, both as a former champion but also as a media performer. And we've all been harsh on Essendon over the last 12 to 18 months. But when you bite on that and you engage in that, that's when you... There's a long way back from that, I think. And that's... Sadly, he won't get to make that ground up. So he will leave with what is a little bit of taste. People move on quickly too. This is the other thing. But, I mean, they'll be disappointed. The Bombers fans will be, you know, frustrated. But if Ben Rutten gets them going and, you know, humming along quickly next year, then they'll move on quick.
So that's the question that sits over them now. It is. Are they destined to be mid-table ordinary? Are they actually on the build towards something good? Or do they need to strip it back and check their list build? And this is the whole problem with it is at this stage, the handover had to be under circumstances going, we're away. Mm. And regrettably, they are nowhere near answering the question as to whether they're away or not.
But they have had a difficult year with injury, and that's always, and I know other teams have, and some have handled it better than others. It's been compounded by where they've been. They started well, even though they weren't playing against really strong teams. They had that COVID thing. It did disrupt them, from what I understand. I don't think it was great for the club and for the momentum that they built. But then, contrary to that, they beat Collingwood in round five and played their best footy. And we just haven't seen since then what we hoped we'd see from them. You know, like the game style. And, you know, they've got a bit out of the season with a few players. Probably haven't they? You know, Ridley, McGrath's gone to the next level. Langford's had a good year. We've seen a bit in Draper. But to the contrary to that, some of their older players look closer to the end. So that's that no man's land. And the guys they targeted and recruited, still, you're not necessarily seeing them.
No, if you're not winning finals, it's very hard to validate what you've done.
Mm. And then there's the Danaher question, which sort of hovers over the whole thing, doesn't it?
Yeah, so that's why Mick McGowan wrote a story in the Herald Sun about Essendon, and his line on Joe Danaher was as good as there's the picture of him sitting on the fence, and he said, "Joe, you've been sitting on the fence for 18 months." It was a beautiful encapsulation. They need to deal with it quickly, and the game tomorrow is over at 2:30, and then that's got to be the priority because then it determines everything that you do going forward. So I'm not sure the list's in as great a shape as that. And when you say injuries, yep, everyone's had injuries. And structurally, they don't look as solid. If he goes, Hurley a little bit older, Hooker gets dropped in the last game. So these are the names we used to reel off really quickly. Oh, they're solid. They've got Hurley and Hooker. They've got Danaher, Ford, Stringer through them. Well, you know, that's another year on.
Stringer came back not ready to come back. So they made some bad calls along the way.
Yeah, and I think there's a sameness about, you know, Merritt, Shield, Parrish, you know, those sorts of blokes through the middle of the ground. So I think that the Ben Rutten's challenges are great and numerous. Implementing a game style is one thing, but he needs to go and determine where his list is right now. And Joe Danaher is the first thing he needs to confront on that. Because then,
so I asked the question about Jeremy Cameron. It's much harder to assess Joe Danaher because there's off-field matters as well as on-field. But what's your call on him from what the available evidence goes as to how valuable is he as a player and how valuable is he to Essendon right now?
If Joe came into the office and said, "I've been through a really hard 12 or 18, I love this club and it is in my blood and I don't want to go anywhere, I want to lead the charge," you'd be the happiest, Ben Rutten would be the happiest man in the world. If he comes in and starts prevaricating and, you know, this and that and that and that, well, then he's not what you want, I don't think. Because what are you going to do? You're going to continue just to bend over and bend over and bend, well, not bend over, but you know what I mean, and make your excuses or, you know, okay, we'll give you time. Well, okay, they're going to get in the market. They're going to get into the market if Joe's not, no good, Joe.
I think they will. I think they would make that call.
With or without Joe making his decision?
No, I think if they didn't feel Joe was committed, that they would weigh it up and see what was out there.
This is the hard thing, isn't it? Because when you've got someone like Joe who's so magnetic, and if he's 70% committed.
But he's had, like you said, he's had all this time to be committed.
That's the point. If he goes, "You want to play Joe?" "Oh, yeah, yep." "No. Do you?" "Oh, yeah, 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 I do." No.
I think we've seen some signs that he's committed from what we've seen, but you are guessing.
I've got no idea.
We're guessing from the outside.
But he can't, and look, in amongst all that, there are still some flaws in Joe's game.
Oh, no, and that's
the other thing you've got to take into account.
Totally. I mean, the kicking.
He can mark the damn thing as well as anyone, and he kicks it as badly as anyone.
Mind you, he's not alone in that, is he, at the moment?
Yeah, so when are we, that's I don't know when we can put time aside for this, but when are we going to make assessments on players on that as well?
Yeah.
Because don't tell me Joe's a star. Joe's not a star because Joe can't kick for goal. So he ain't a star. And Patrick Cripps, is he don't kick for goal. So do we got to mark? I'm sad. I'm sorry.
But Patrick Cripps is a midfielder at least.
Yeah, and he's
Joseph forward. He has to be able to kick.
And Patrick's limiting himself.
Yeah.
By what he does when he goes forward. And so, and then the next question is, I was listening today, Simster, who's coaching these blokes? So let me, you're an assistant coach. Your job is to coach football. You're getting paid $250,000 or $300,000. You're failing as a coach if you can't fix someone. Why aren't you fixing this goal-kicking problem?
Would you take a pay cut to go and fix someone, Gaz?
I'm not saying I could.
No. Well, no.
If it's my job, my responsibility as a forward coach.
I was joking there, but do you think you could or not?
I'd like to try. If the phys ed said you can have them for as long as you want, I would like to try. I'm not. It's just, I say this constantly. I don't care if you're missing by a metre to the left, a metre to the right. I cop that. I missed those guys. Everyone misses those. These blokes are missing the set. Not just the goal. They're missing the set on $700,000. This year's different. Full-time, access to every resource you want, mollycoddled to an inch of their life, physically given every single physical preparation tool or mechanism you can want. And we just go, oh, well. You both, I've given you the cricket analogy. The bloke fielding at first slip drops 10 out of 11. Yep. Would you reckon we go, oh, well? No, we don't. Banish him and he's out.
I think golf's the better analogy, though, for the technical side of it.
Which is what?
No, well, just in terms of the analysis of it, rather than catching in cricket.
Do your job, Anthony. Do your job. If you're a cricketer, catch the damn thing. If you're a golfer, putt the thing in the hole. If you're a footballer, kick it through the two big things.
Joe's playing for far less next year than he's been earning is the answer to your question. Nobody's paying him anything like he's been earning. And he's not worth it. He can't command it. And I don't think he'd even be asking for it.
He'd be asking.
It's time to drop back.
He'd be asking. That'd still
it's
be
time
asking.
To drop back. Every side is the best side of the Hyundai Tucson, packed with safety features, progressive technology, and now from just $29,990 drive away. Plus, right now, the Tucson comes with a $1,500 bonus during the Hyundai 2020 model runout events. This offer won't last forever. Test drive it at your local Hyundai showroom today or one day soon. We're going to touch base with both camps, St Kilda and the Giants. Our Friday night fair coming up next for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing and Liquorland. Always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
St Kilda and the Giants tonight from the Gabba for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's. Full terms at mcdonalds.com.au. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson and Gary Lyon with you. Zach Jones is with us. It's with great regret that he's not going to be out there for the Saints tonight. Zach, welcome to AFL Nation. I got you there, Zach.
It's a good intro, Jared.
Just rattle around in the background somewhere.
Intro.
We'll find him. We'll find him.
They're going to miss him. They would like to find him. He's been one of the revelations, Zach Jones.
Let's just try again. Zach, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, well, welcome. Lovely to have you there.
Hey, guys, how are
we? How is the hamstring?
Yeah, it's not too bad. Had a good hit out today. It just wasn't really worth putting a risk into it. I think if it was a final, then it would have been a little bit of a different story, but I think the risk of damaging it more would have been too high, so we made the call earlier on in the week.
So what did you do? What did you feel? It's obviously not a strain.
Yeah, so it was 2 minutes to go in the last quarter against West Coast, and I just went to accelerate a little bit, and I felt it go a little bit tighter, and I wasn't sure. I ran around for a little bit longer, and then I was like, there's still something there, and I don't think that... that it's normal. I thought it was late in the game and I thought I was cramping, but then I was like, I think I'd feel like both my hammies would feel different, but my right hammy actually felt a little bit worse. So I was sure that there was something there.
And are you sure, Zach, that you know, within the next couple of weeks that you'll be available again? I know there's no, never, you know, 100% right now, but are you really confident you'll be right if the Saints get there?
Yeah, based off this morning's session and running around, I'm really confident. I feel confident in my body and felt really good today, building up on my speed. So it's very minor, so which is a very good thing, and no, I'm very lucky.
No, it is, and Saints fans would love hearing that. I mean, it has gone. Your move has gone as smoothly as you could possibly have hoped for. I reckon you've made a huge difference to this footy side. And I know we all, you know, you guys are all modest and you want to talk about the club first and all that, but has it gone as well as you could have possibly hoped?
Yeah, I think it's been a weird year, and especially with COVID going on and the things going on, I think it's just been a year of trying to fit in, and it's given me a good opportunity to actually get to know players a lot better. And I had a fair bit of a break with not seeing anyone from the club, but when I got back, it's a really good opportunity to, when you move away with people and you've got to really get to know them. So I think it's been really good because it's made me build connections a lot quicker. And I'm a pretty private person and pretty reserved, so it's pretty hard to get involved for myself. But I felt like this has given me a real opportunity to get to know players on a lot deeper level.
Obviously, the season, as Gaz said, has largely gone pretty well for you personally and for the club. But could you understand, say, if you're one of the struggling teams? We've been talking about some of the teams who the season's now over and, you know, big questions remain over Liz. Could you understand that living in a hub, if, you know, the team wasn't experiencing great success and there was doubts over players' future, could it be really tough going, do you think?
Yeah, I think that builds up with the pressure of also what else is going on around the world with families and things going on. So I think that trying to use momentum, which is really tough because if you don't have momentum, then trying to wrestle it back while you're in a hub is actually a really tough thing to stay positive and not let things build up. I think for clubs that are struggling, it's a really tough thing to find and try and get yourself out of that.
And how has Rats handled the season in terms of that? The just, you know, the ups and downs of the year, and you know, trying to keep things fresh when you're living with each other so closely.
Yeah, I think it's just been giving us some time off when we need it. I think you wouldn't see each other 24/7 at the club. You see each other, but then you get to get away and go home, where in the hub you don't really get to go away. I see these people for dinner, I see these people for breakfast and lunch. So giving us time off to actually just be able to chill out and spend some time away actually freshens us up, so we're not always in each other's space.
And who are a couple of players who have surprised you this year you thought that you didn't know much of in previously?
Yeah, I think obviously Maxie King. I knew a little bit about him, but he's a really good player. I think he's developing really well. He's flying at the ball and looking really well. But Jack Bytel, I didn't really know too much about him. He had a back injury last year. And the more that I've trained with him and got to know him and see him as a player, he's developing into a really good player.
And what about your midfield collectively? Obviously, Jack Steele's been outstanding. And do you feel like the understanding between all of you and with the way the two ruckmen have worked together as the year's gone on has been something that's a real strength for the club potentially heading into finals?
Yeah, for sure. I think us as a football club, we want to be known to be able to play different roles and be versatile. And one example of that is Ro and Paddy. They're being versatile to swing between each other and help each other out. And us as a midfield, we've just got to make sure that we get to their feet and get around them. And most of the time, we back our boys in. So as a midfield, I think we've worked really well together to kind of have a balance of playing together and then playing different roles and fitting in different areas around the field.
I know you've got the Giants to go, but you've played everyone else. Who's the best team you've played?
It's hard to say. We played some really good teams. West Coast is a really good side. Obviously, we played them last week, and it was a tough encounter in the wet. But I think Brisbane's a really good side too. They've got really good midfields, and West Coast especially with Nick Nat, his follow-up and his second efforts, it's like having another midfielder in there, and I'm sure you guys know all about it too.
What about Dan Hannanbury's return? What you've obviously played a lot with him at the Swans. What, as well as seeing him firsthand this year, what does he bring tonight, being back in the team?
Yeah, I spent a bit of time with him. I unfortunately can't get away from him. he's a bit of a pest. No, I think it's exciting, but I think for him just to come in and have some confidence to play his role, and we're not looking for anything special out of him. We just make sure he plays his role and feels good in himself. He brings a lot to the team, especially with that communication and leadership. So we know what he's going to bring, and I think that's why the selection was made probably a bit easier, is we know exactly what he's going to bring. He's an experienced player, and he obviously helps our team out. So it's good to have him back. I'm excited to watch him.
Are you allowed to be there tonight? What are the current arrangements, or do you have to watch from Noosa?
No, I'm currently down here sitting in a suite with the players that didn't play. They had a game today, so I went down and watched a little bit of that, and then just in the suite at the moment waiting for the game to start.
Will it be a bit nervy, do you think?
I think a few of the boys be a little bit nervous. Normally I get nervous. Doesn't matter what game, I just get nervous because I'm not out there. I get more nervous not being out there.
We look forward to seeing you back out there, Zach. Hopefully it all goes to plan tonight and you're there in a couple of weeks' time. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Zach Jones with us from the Saints. The Saints would like to thank their loyal partners who stuck by the club this year, especially Pepper Money, Deliveroo and Dare Ice Coffee. The sponsors and members have done a great service to their clubs throughout this season. Callan Waters is going to join us shortly from the Giants as well. So both sides of the coin. One of the former captains will get his take on what exactly has been going on at the Giants. Experience the convenience of contactless online shopping and delivery at Hyundai. Through selected dealers, you can buy your dream car online today with Hyundai's Click to Buy. And right now, get an extra cash back rebate when you buy online. Visit hyundai.com.au/clicktobuy to find out more. This is our pre-game show on Friday night. Footy for Beaumont Tiles. 116 stores open online, in-store. Click and collect or deliver.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value. Friday night footy on AFL Nation for Beaumont Tiles, Australia's biggest.
Tonight it's St Kilda and the Giants from the Gabba. The Saints looking to qualify for the finals for the first time since 2011. And the Giants have been there for four straight years. They've won finals in each of them. They've played 11 finals in that time, but a lot has to go right. They have to win and then a bit more across the weekend to try to salvage a place. They are only an outside chance. There is a change, Anthony Hudson, you mentioned?
There is a change. Isaac Cumming is the late inclusion, and Matt De Boer is injured. So, Gaz, Canelio?
Yeah, Canelio had a steal. There you go. I would have thought De Boer would have set himself for Jack Steele. That would have been the smart play. He hasn't always played on someone, De Boer, which is a... I know, it's an interesting concept. I know our friend Hot Take... Kano gets his hair, and I agree with him, by the way. So, Canelio to steal, I reckon.
Gary Lyon, Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson with you on AFL Nation for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes.
We've just seen the weather up there, guys.
Rain.
It's raining.
Rain. It's at the Gabba tonight, which is the venue for the grand final. Did you watch last night, which was just down the road?
Yeah.
What do you got there? I hope that's SEN that's playing on your phone.
That's the AFL app, actually, Gaz. I'm sorry. Did you see Chris Scott today saying that the commentators have made up basically that it's greasy, the conditions?
Not sure how to say this. I've got to say this with the utmost respect, and I'm not being facetious one bit. I admire, respect, and love all the coaches. Sometimes they're the last people in the world you should listen to when it comes to some of these
things. Why would he say that? If he's trying to... Other teams are dipping balls in all sorts of things.
They are as well, I think.
Yeah, well, he just dismissed... I didn't know. I thought he was...
Well, why do they say it? Because they're deflecting left, right and centre. They're talking about everything and other than what they don't want to be talking about. Seriously, it's just... I don't know. They've got a lot on their plate. And I don't know. The distraction comes along and they go, how can I say something here that just is totally... Yeah, nonsensical.
So can I ask, how much of it is,
So I think we're going to talk ourselves out of the night grand final. I actually think that's the risk. We're just going to talk it down and down and down and down, and then when it's 8-6, which will be entirely in keeping with the season. Yeah. It is going to be a low-scoring grand final because of the style of footy that's played. No, don't worry about it. It may very well be Dewey, or it might not be. We are not going to see a great number of goals in the grand final because of the way footy's played.
No. And there's Dew and there's Dew, though, isn't there?
Last night, though, and the players have been consistent. In the warm-up, it's the time. In the warm-up, it's fine. You don't think it. You start the game, and by about quarter time, depending on when the game starts, you can notice the difference. Yeah. We're not making it up.
No.
We are not, Chris. We are not making it up.
No, Chris. Our eyes, we can only go on our eyes, and having spoken to some people that are up there and know the circumstances intimately, maybe you're reading it different to the vast majority, but the vast majority are telling me, anyway, that it is real, and it makes for a very, very difficult playing surface, which is the same for both teams, so then you've got to deal with it. But, I mean, you watched last night, and this is the thing, and Cairns is probably, from what I can gather, is having the Melbourne played out there. They said it's another level again. Mm. So that makes Fremantle and the Dogs. The Dogs are a team that like to flip it round by hand a lot. Makes it interesting.
And it's windy up. It's been windy pretty much every night up there too, so that's another factor. Wind, rain, dew.
Well, dear, but everyone deals with it.
They do. But if we're trying to get the best, but, I mean, I take your point, Jared, and I agree with you broadly, but do we have to add another element that we didn't need to add?
So when would you have played it?
Well, I would have played it as a twilight grand final. If that is real, the dew is real, which it appears to be.
So I did the list a couple of weeks ago. There's a list of 12 finals that have been played at the Gabba. Not one of them is remembered for it being slippery or wet. Not one of them. And there are some great finals in that list. Truly great finals. I just think we're going to talk ourselves out of it. It's going to be a low-scoring grand final, and people are going to go, so let's never play it at night again. And it won't be the reason.
Yeah, I don't. I've got more confidence in people to see it for what it is this year. That is the circumstances. And it's the year. Even last night, you got the West Coast Eagles coming in at quarter time. Nought. This is just the way this season's unfolding. We hope and pray that we're going to get back. And this is a whole conversation for another day, but we did Geelong Richmond game, which I didn't do with you boys. So the number one attacking the most is then are held to a goal by three quarter time. So my question then is, what is the incentive to play attacking football in the modern era? And then if I'm going to go coaching, you know, and you're my assistants, we sit down, we go, how we want to play? And my natural inclination is say, let's score. Let's go and attack. What is the incentive to do that when the best, most attacking team in the comp can be kept to one goal in three quarters of footy? And the simple answer is there's no incentive. Therefore, I will then go and concentrate on pressure and defence and zone defence and slow it down. And that's why we are getting 2-3, 3-4, 4. And it is the greatest challenge facing our game.
It's every bit of that.
I've got some numbers where we're at as we get to the last year in terms of game time and scoring and so forth.
Cool. All right, we'll go through those shortly. Callan Waters with us from the Giants camp. Callan, welcome to AFL Nation.
Thanks, boys. How you going?
We're good. How's the finger?
It's a bit better. It's been a frustrating one. But I wasn't far off playing this week, but it was just a call I made during the week that it probably just wasn't worth it. It hasn't fully healed yet, and the wound took a few more weeks than I thought it would. So, yeah.
Didn't think you were doing a Daniel Chick, did you, Cal? At any stage, just chopping the damn thing off?
Well, when it first happened, I thought I might have to. Yeah, I've never even jarred a finger in my career before, so I've done a good one to start up with.
So what do they actually do? Like, it's a compound fracture, obviously. I don't want to get people having their dinner, but did you get the shock when you looked down?
When I looked down, because I felt it didn't hurt. I just felt something on my hand. And when I looked down, I thought I had some white tape on my finger. So I've gone to pick off the white tape, and I'm picking at it, and I'm thinking, this is hard tape.
Oh.
And I kept picking at it, and ended up being my bones.
So,
yeah, not pretty.
Is it the most gruesome injury you've done?
Yeah, I've done nothing else that's been gruesome, so yeah, definitely. But I actually didn't break the bone, so it's just a fracture. It just dislocated, so the plate that holds your bones together pretty much was dislocated or broken, so I had to get that repaired. Other than that, it was actually pretty good. So
you're a tough breed. I'll give you that. What are the emotions heading toward tonight, Callan? It's obviously winning is not enough tonight. A lot has to go right, and you've played finals four straight years. What's your sense heading towards the game tonight?
Yeah, it's a bit of a tough one. We're pretty much just keeping it pretty simple. We have to win. We have to win well, really. Obviously, we need some results to go our way as well, but we can't look past tonight. We have to win, and we have to play some good footy, which we haven't really been doing in the last pretty much all year, actually. So, yeah, the pressure's on us to actually play some good footy tonight.
Have you got any thoughts as to why?
Not really. If it was something in particular that that we weren't doing that well, I probably would, but because it's been across the whole board and it's been inconsistent throughout the whole board and every line, it's been really hard to actually nail down what's going wrong. But we're chipping away and we're trying to improve the training during the week, but on game day it's just not working for us at the moment.
So do you think it's more physical or mental?
Oh, I think it's a bit of everything. I think the mental stuff has to come into it. I know every team's in the same position with hubs and all that, and being away from families, being away from home. But obviously the mental side comes into it, but physically as well. We got guys who are stars of the game who haven't been performing. I came in, I didn't perform all year. There's been guys who have had good years previously who have just been down on form this year. I'm not too sure why, but for some reason.
And yet, round one, you looked in awesome touch, and then after the break, it just hasn't been the case.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that because we were playing really good football in round one. Our isolation break, I thought everyone went away and trained really well, and we came back in a really good mood and ready to play some good footy. And since then, we've played some really good footy, and we still know that our best is still probably the best, but our worst is far from our best, and just got to keep trying to bridge that gap.
What about spirit in amongst the group? We had the whole Canelio situation last week. You as a former captain, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on that and whether you actually spoke to Stephen about it. So how's the spirit amongst the group?
Yeah, the spirit's up and down. We had eight players come in last week, so obviously had some guys out of the team, and Cogs was one of those. Cogs is one of my really good mates and obviously have a fair bit to do with him, especially speaking about leadership and things like that. And he was really disappointed, but at the same time, he knew that his football wasn't good enough. He had a lot of things to work on. And I think as a club, when you drop your captain, it's always going to be controversial. But I think Cogs handled it really well. And the team handled it really well as well. And I think that's just part of football sometimes, unfortunately. You're not always in good form. And Cogs has faced those challenges throughout the year, but especially in the last month.
But unfortunately, the fact that the story is it's not a part of footy very much. And we had to go way, way back. And you've been a captain. And as a captain, I think you've got dual responsibility. You are there. Obviously, you've got to play and get that part of it right, and he's been struggling. But you're also, you're the number one leader in that group, which must count for something as well, which that, to me, made the decision to drop him surprising. You're saying, well, your form's no good, and therefore maybe your leadership's not that great either.
Yeah, so unfortunately, it's a part of footy with form in terms of just a general football. And obviously, it hasn't happened in 22 years where a captain's been dropped based on form. I understand what you're saying. No, I don't think it's got anything to do with his leadership. It was just purely his football stuff because his leadership has been first class all year, and even in the last month, it's stepped up as well. So it was just that he wasn't doing what he knew he could do, what the coaches asked of him and what the teammates asked of him as well. So it was just one of those situations where it's probably best for him to get out of the side and try and learn from it, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure you understand. Then people start to say, okay, well, Jeremy Cameron hasn't had a great year, and would he have been next if this season rolled on? How have you seen his form?
Yeah, it's been just like the rest of us, pretty up and down, inconsistent. Some really good games, some really poor games. I think he'd be the first one to put his hand up and say he's had a pretty ordinary year, and obviously cops it in the media quite a bit, and we got full support of Jezza and. I know it's late in the season now. I've been saying all year he'll get back to his best, and probably hasn't got back to his best all year, but we can back him in for the seasons coming forward and hopefully potentially the finals as well.
What's it like being having the Amazon cameras in this year that have been following Stephen Canelio?
Yeah, it's fine. It's cameras are usually out these days with social media and everyone trying to get their beer at the club as well. So, you know, it's been a bit different probably at the start of it, but now I think the players are used to it. And Colgy's, you know, mic'd up probably, I don't know, 50% of the time at the club and at the hub and training and playing and stuff like that. So that's probably been a bit different for him. But I think everyone's used to having the cameras around now.
And the scenario with Aiden Corr during the week, Callan, is... Was there a level of confrontation to that? Was there a sort of all of team meeting in the aftermath of it to declare intentions and to hear commitment?
So the way Aiden went about it, he's really close with Leon, so I think he thought the best thing to do was just to be upfront and honest with Leon. So he did that on whatever night it was, Tuesday night or something. I think he told him in a conversation, and the club's position from them was to release it, and we gave Apples the opportunity to speak in front of the group and to tell the boys what he's doing, and it all played out really well. The players handled it really well, and that was the end of it.
Did Ben Graham address the group and sort of, it's been reported that there was some sort of ultimatum if, you know, you're either in or you're out? Jason McCartney, yeah.
Oh, there were a few players that said some stuff, and Jason, you know, said some stuff as well. You know, pretty much what we always say is, you know, we're always going to lose players every year. Every club, you know, loses players, but we're trying to keep the players who really want to be here, and that's it.
Callan, thanks for your time tonight. We look forward to seeing you whenever the next time is.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Callan Ward, with us from the Giants. Shout out for Tyre Power. Go and see Penny at Tyre Power, Sunbury. Right now, buy three, get one free on selected Toyo tyres.
I saw Ben Graham. He's doing the NFL with Cam Luke, I think.
Ben, I was getting to meet Ben, thinking the Graham.
I know, idiot. So we always have this conversation. Are we mature enough as a competition to be able to say, yep, Anthony's leaving halfway through the year. He's going to K-Rock. We can deal with that. You'll keep giving your best. We're not ready for that.
No.
We're nowhere near ready for that.
Well, you would say we're getting further and further away from it.
I know. And is that a bad thing or a good thing?
No, it's a ridiculous thing.
I would have thought
Aiden
in this case...
not to be playing tonight because he is going to...
He's injured, isn't he?
He's injured, I think.
Well, to be banished from the setup. It's ludicrous.
That's right.
Someone who's been there that long and is a heart and soul player and got a good nickname, I mean, Apples Corr.
Apples, like, yep.
Why wouldn't he still be there?
I need to address that with myself, because my first reaction is, right, out. And I'm sorry, that's how I was brought up, but I need to be more...
But times have changed, haven't they, Gaz?
They have, for sure. But I just wonder.
I mean, you only got to look at North Melbourne. They're out the door the next day.
Yeah, so it goes both ways, I suppose. I'll need to give myself a talking to.
All right, you do that. We've got some...
Can we mic you up for that?
Rapid-fire topics to kick around as we go, including Eddie Betts is going on at Carlton. This is the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Exclusive bathroom packages from Beaumont's $4,000 the lot.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value. You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value.
Saints and Giants tonight, you're on the pre-game for McDonald's. The Monopoly game is back at Macca's and Liquorland. Click and collect in just 30 minutes. There's all manner of topics just to shuttle around the desk. Is Gaz, Eddie Betts has a new contract for 2021. Jake Niles reported tonight in The Age. So on he goes.
Good on him, I say. Good luck to Ed. Good on him. Is it along the Burgoyne lines? Would he be combining it with some sort of a leadership / coaching role?
Could very well be.
Yeah. Well, I get that. I think his best footy's behind him from what I've seen this year, but... I also can understand the value that he'd have by having him around the joint. If you're able to, you know, combine his salary or part thereof into a soft cap, then I get it. I'm not sure you're going to get...
And now they're not going to get Papley. There's no obvious player smashing the door down to take his place either. I mean, they would probably hope he doesn't play every game next year in a way. There's others.
But... Yeah, well, I guess then... But the only thing when you've got those players on your list...
You end up playing them.
Yeah, this is what happens, is that the coach looks at it and goes, yeah, I think he's better than Fisher. I think, well, Yeah, but in 5 years' time, he's not.
Yeah.
So that's where that's the risk of carrying those blokes. But if they've got it in their head, they're going to play maybe 8 times or 10 times, or whatever. Then I can understand that.
It was interesting. So when Dave, it was thought on Monday that Betts was finishing, and David Teague was on 360. He said he'll be in our best team round one next year. And you're, oh right, so he's not finishing.
It's a bit of well, what I read, there's a bit of, fair bit of captain's call in it. I think Teague was really strong in getting him to the place in the first instance, and from those comments. Yeah, if I'm Eddie and I'm umming and ahhing and I hear the coach say that, I'm hanging around.
He still had periods of really strong play during the year, but then he's also gone missing for a long period of time, which is, I guess, true to that position to a degree. But.
Yeah, and as I said, my objection, not objection, but my preference in moving when you get to that stage on is that if you keep them, you're prone to playing them as opposed to bringing in some younger talent.
Who, if Ben Brown is to move on and or be the chance to move on, who would come strongest for him, do you think, from an opposition club?
I was just thinking that Brisbane would be someone that I'd be looking at as a potential. You know, with Hipwood and McStay, I think it still remains a question mark. For me, Hipwood's getting better, and McStay's one of those blokes that, you know, when he plays to his potential, he's as good as most, but that only bops up every 8 weeks. So I think they'd have a look at it, Brisbane.
Essendon, if they lost Danaher?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm. Where are Collingwood going to be with a key forward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they wouldn't have the money to be, but I think they'd probably like him otherwise.
They'd
although
have to
the
make
way.
Sacrifices to open up that spot. But
So Jaden Stevenson could be, you could argue that Jaden Stevenson is a 6 foot version of Ben Brown. Is that, you know, they play out of the goal square, they hit up really hard, and then what else you get is a bit problematic. And then Jordan says, get out, everyone out. And there's no argument because Jordan does what Jordan does. My check's the interesting one out of Collingwood for me. He's been on the rookie list for the last 3 years and he has to be upgraded now and he's wanting to be paid more, you know, in a manner that befits his output over the past 3 years.
So what is he, if you're his manager, what would you advise him?
Go to Melbourne. I would love him at Melbourne. I did say would love him at Melbourne. He's a $400,000 to $500,000 player, I reckon, and he's probably been playing on $200,000. I don't know. That's what I'm guessing as a rookie listed player. So I think he's done his time, earned his dues, and now it's time to pay him a bit.
Mm. Yeah, he's entitled to the paycheck.
I need to ask the weekly question. We've got to round 18. Caleb Sarong is the hot favourite for the Rising Star. Can you still mount a case for Matty Rao, Gaz?
No, this is Jared's baby more than mine. I've come late, not late to the party. I've been fascinated with it, but Jared?
If Noah Anderson is in your first two, isn't Matt Rao ahead of Noah Anderson?
I think so.
I think so.
It's just how you define it.
It is.
I don't. He's finished strongly though, Noah Anderson.
Actually. He has.
He's finished strongly. Sarong is still
a
clear favourite.
The lengthy body of work to show. So we're going to reward the body of work, and maybe that's exactly how it should be.
Yeah. But it's a fascinating one, though. I'll be very, very. Yeah, we can do it next week when you get the vote. I'll get you all to vote on it and find out what you do with it.
Do you reckon Lachlan Scholl was the rising star this weekend if he gets 5 disposals or more?
What was that all about?
Well, it's not done on one game. So I get the objection. He played one standout game. But especially by this stage of the year, we know that it's about making sure that the players who have put together their body of work are in the class of rising stars. And one singular game doesn't vault you into that group.
So who drove? I've been off.
So the Adelaide players drove it. And good on them because, well, they should have. They'd watched their youngster absolutely tear it up.
And Quayne got it.
And Quayne has put together, you know, a dozen good games.
And Trent Rivers would be sitting there going, oh, hey, throw me into the argument.
Yeah. So, but if you still think it's one game gets you the nominee, it's not how it works. And it has never really been.
It does early in the year, though. That's the thing. That's the
pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles. Need a new bathroom? Choose Aussie Beaumont Tiles.
You're listening to AFL Nation for McDonald's. Monopoly at Macca's is in full swing. And Liquorland, always great value.
Before we do, on the pre-game show for Beaumont Tiles, 116 stores open online, in-store, click and collect or deliver. What did you think, Gaz, when you heard of the Sean Smith payout, $1.4 million, acknowledging the severe effects of concussion from an insurance perspective.
Well, it's wrapped for Sean, first and foremost. He's clearly got huge challenges ahead and hadn't been dealing with a lot, so I think it's great. But then it throws into this conundrum a whole other, you know, part of the puzzle that those that have and those that haven't. But the foresight or good fortune to have been insured in such a way that they can get a payout. So yeah, there would be players who are thinking, oh, geez, why didn't I? Why haven't I? I'm in a similar situation. And then going forward. So it just throws into the melting pot one of the remaining, not remaining, one of the consistent challenges for the competition, the AFL competition. I'd hate to be at the forefront of this because, and Clubland as well, trying to deal with this. I mean, you read that today, you know, you get a concussion tonight, a bad concussion, so they're off. And then it's the how long do they come back? Do we bring them back in a week? Do we bring them back in 2 weeks? Peter Jess, we've spoken to many, many times. He'll say it's 4 to 6. And Peter rails against the fact that we get these players back within a week, you know. So all of these different scenarios, which is the more I read about it, the more I, you know, talk to people about it, it is one of the great challenges. And then I spoke to Paddy McCartan in recent times, recent days, and then I'm thinking about him and what's he do? You know, he's full bottle, wants to get back into it and rip into it. And then Sean Smith, you know, you read that article, he's saying, I hope Paddy doesn't play. So, God, it's hard. It is so hard. No, I still don't know the answer.
No, there's no singular answer to no.
There's not. And, you know, there'll be a concussion in the final series and then the player will go, don't you dare think about not playing me next week or the week. You know, okay, give me 1 week, but if we make the grand final, I'm playing. And then the club goes, yeah, well, you know, we'll do what's right by you. And then he'll say, I'll tell you what's right by me is play me in the damn grand final. And their supporters, we've spent hours about talking about this on our radio breakfast program, and the supporters will turn around and say, yeah, well, you know, who are you to tell someone that's 1 week or 2 weeks or 4 weeks or six? Until such time as we get Danny Frawley's brain results back, we get Sean Smith, a situation. We've had Polly Farmer, and I fear that it's not going to get better.
No. And once, yes, the insurance precedent is an interesting one, then what's the exposure of the league historically, morally? What's the moral obligation to the players who have been through it? It's incredibly complex, but very real. And each instance, really across this calendar year, has made it more and more real.
And then you take your lead from American sport, and they paid out with deniability, like there's no fault, we'll pay, but there's no guilt here on our behalf, and I don't know how it works. That's at a whole different level from where I sit, but I would imagine for Gil, this won't and shouldn't go away. By the way, it doesn't. When I think about it, I'm just trying to work out how you get to a uniform situation where if you're taken off on a stretcher and you've been knocked out, is it 2 weeks or just two? And I continue to say this. And this is the best way that I can explain it, is that Scott Pendlebury runs out to play a game, does the warm-up, and it's 3 minutes before the game starts, and he goes, oh, just felt a little twinge in my quad. So he runs off and has 2 weeks off. You do that for a quad, and we're arguing over weeks for a brain. That, to me, is where the perspective lies in this whole debate.
Intuitively, do you think we're heading for 18-minute quarters next year?
I do. And I'm happy with that. I think 18's about right. I think the game had, like, whether we it has accidentally grown in time length, hasn't it, over the period of time. And I think we've seen enough this year, and I think 18 would be a good compromise. Just to give you some numbers on that, the extra time, there's extra time added this year within after goals. And so that's made it that's just an added factor. So the amount of time of play has dropped 20%. Match length is 102 minutes this year, down from 122 last year, which is only a 17% drop. Scoring per match is 121.2 per match, down from 160, which is a 24% drop. But if you normalise the scoring for game time, it would be 151.6. So scoring is well down, about 9 points per game on normal game times.
On what was a already 60-year low.
On a slope.
Yep.
Headed down, yeah.
So did you say total game time, 120 down to 102?
102, yeah. And but that's including, you know, added a few extra gaps in, you know.
And the minute for the goal.
After the goals and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. I heard Hodgie, I don't know if I've heard it right or not. I thought Hodgie said it was 10 minutes a quarter, which I didn't
check. No, it's 5 minutes a quarter.
Yeah, which I think, I'm not that fussed about it. I know that there are supporters out there that want more. The more footy they can get, the better. But
if it allows us to play more games or have more flexibility, then surely that compensates to a degree, doesn't it?
So more games in a season?
If we want to, particularly in the short term, if we need to from a financial point of view, play another couple of games.
Yeah, which is not going to happen.
Well, it remains to be seen then.
Yeah, okay. My belief is that it's not.
So from what Gil said yesterday, as we're returning to a 22-round season, there'll need to be an explanation given as to why 18 is... So I'm in the camp of the game had got too long, unnaturally long. This has been too short. I think most people would agree with that. So, you know, land in the sweet spot. That's not quite enough to... There needs to be an explanation as to why we think the game will be enhanced by going to 18-minute quarters.
I think whether it's enhanced or not is just part of a huge argument, isn't it, about where the game is and where it's going to. But rotations would have to be reduced as part of that if you're going from 20 down to 18.
Yeah.
Have to.
Whether they take an even decent further. Swing at that or whether just it's a proportional swing is to sell that to people is going to be pretty important, I think. And West Coast, if something went awry, they could still finish in the top four. They've already gone home, haven't they? So I think they'd probably be happy to finish fifth.
At the end of when it's all said and done, the double chance is king, of course.
But Simo said, whether he's going to publicly say it, he said he definitely wants the double chance.
Yeah, and then I absolutely get it and understand it, but the fact that they can go home if they're in fifth position and have that first one at home and gather themselves, get the 2 or 3 weeks or whatever it is, and then come back fully fit and ready, if they're good enough to win that first final, of course. They're dropped off, and you've been all over that, Jared. They have dropped off, and they've got a fair way back now with their injuries that have bobbed up, but you'd back them to win your first final. Although if Collingwood were the opposition, Collingwood travel really well over and play well over there. So anyway, that's 3 weeks down the track. But they're not the out-and-outs like they once were. And I can tell you, last night's game would have been, I would imagine, one of the more difficult games for that West Coast team to get themselves up for.
I thought you were going to say to commentate.
But I know, all of that. But, I mean, it doesn't matter which way you skin it. The first quarter is exactly how I thought the first quarter would go.
Yeah. Yep.
They're struggling to find out why, struggling to get themselves up, struggling to, you know, they were trailing. There was no urgency, where's the trigger? Where's the competitive trigger? And it wasn't there. And they did enough to get there in the end, but that was about it.
There's still a danger. For my mind, there's still a danger. Just because of the players they've got and how dangerous their forward line is.
Yeah, no, they've got... I mean, the list says that they've got to be taken seriously, but, that's a toll. It's starting to take a toll. Yep. Depends who comes back.
Yeah, well, McGovern will most likely miss the first one.
Yost's the one
big question mark over him still. So that's...
Well, if they were fit, if they were, you know, loaded, then they'd probably be in the top four if they were loaded. And we might... Yeah, they'd be absolutely in it.
Yeah, they're bottom end. They're hurting at the bottom end. Yep. They've got a lot of inexperienced players and so forth.